Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate beautiful music. Okay, let's get ready for our study tonight in John chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer. And I'm just overwhelmed with how much is here. But we'll just have fun seeing what the Lord is doing. Let's talk about prayer. And we have some, first of all, Thomas, please be in prayer that the Lord will continue to strengthen that young man's body, where they're hoping he will start school next September.
In January.
In January. Wow. Very good. Well, then let's get in there and be in prayer for Thomas' health, that come January he'll be a healthy young man and be able to interact and get back into the school. That'll be fantastic. We have two important areas of prayer. Kit is leaving tomorrow. Is it tomorrow?
Yes.
For Greece.
Yes.
And to join his wife, and y'all will return?
The
15th. The 15th. Okay. So we want to be in prayer for Kit and Julian, that they will be able to have a good time and then come back. And be in prayer. And tomorrow, Jim Passmore and his wife travel to Italy. So we need to be in prayer for them as they travel. And for a safe trip back, they'll be gone 11 or 12 days. So please be in prayer for Jim and their travel safety, and Kit and his travel safety. So got to get them both back here in good order in September. I don't know why y'all didn't go in July or August when it was really hot, but okay.
It had to do with my work.
Okay.
Matter of fact, kind of a praise is some things kind of got strung out, and there was something I had to deliver today, or get in trouble, or stay here, or something. And I got the customer to sign it, got it through. Okay.
Now, last Wednesday evening, we were in prayer for some business things going to happen the next day. How did things go the next day?
Right. Came out all right.
Came out all right. Good, all right. Man, I didn't know it was that serious. Okay. And I'd have stayed up all night praying. Good grief. I'd have known it was that serious. And so please be in prayer for Ken and Julian and Jim and Mindy.
Olivia.
And Olivia leaves? You leave?
Tomorrow.
Man, all these planes leaving. Wow. Olivia, we love having you here. We love having you here. Olivia and I were talking. I'm going to teach a couple of her classes a couple of times in Taiwan. And she's talking about maybe, and you were right, we'll talk about it later, but maybe some of the guys, young people coming over for a camp next year. So we'll just see and see how that goes, see how that works. Be an international camp. So, yeah. So, be in prayer for that. Be in prayer for your travel, and Kit, your travel, and then your Julian and Jim and Mindy. So, my goodness. All right.
My son will have an interview, work job interview, September in Taiwan.
Okay. So we'll be in prayer for his interview at work. For those of you on the internet, Olivia's son's got an interview in Taiwan on the 5th. Was that September? Okay. So we'll be in prayer for that. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Yes, I got a note from Ron, the veteran in Tucson. He came very, very critical last time. His blood pressure just suddenly dropped down to 70 over 40.
Wow. Gee. All right, we'll be in prayer for Ron and his family. Wow. They took him in last night?
Actually, early this morning.
Okay.
Pretty low.
I'm sorry?
I said that blood pressure was very low.
We'll be in prayer. Ron and his family. Don't forget, John Hintz will be here later on in September. And so, this is Sunday, is Communion Sunday. All right, anything else? Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Spend a few moments in prayer, preparing ourselves that the Spirit will open our eyes to, we're already being made privy to this prayer by Jesus Christ. Now we're asking the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see things that are going on in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the joy, the anticipation, the hope of seeing Jesus Christ as He is, the rapture, is only intensified when we study how He prayed, what He prayed, His relationship with You, His relationship with the disciples, His relationship with us. Pray, Father, that Your Spirit will open our eyes to these things. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, chapter 17, verse 1. These things Jesus spoke, lifting up His eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that the Son may glorify Thee, even as Thou hast already given Him authority over all mankind, in order that to all whom Thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. Okay, let's take a summary. One, we receive eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, as we like to say. John 3:16, John 5:24. No human works are related to anything related to the flesh, nothing related to this earth can have anything to do with eternal life. That's the point here. Nothing related to this flesh, because the flesh doesn't have eternal life. Nothing related to this earth has anything to do with eternal life. While faith is related to the spiritual, to the eternal, faith does not rely on anything related to the flesh, people. That's why it isn't faith in our works. Faith in something we do. It's not related to anything on this earth. This is why it is so important to know the faith that God is looking for. A lot of people talk about faith, but is it the faith God is looking for? If God is looking for a faith related to the flesh, faith related to this earth, it's dead. It's dead, perishable, corrupt. Only faith in a member of the Godhead. Because members of the Godhead are eternal. Only faith in a member of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, can procure eternal life. Faith in rituals. Faith in baptism. Faith in communion. Faith in the sacraments. Cannot save. They're related to the earth. All these related to things that are temporal, not eternal in nature. Works of mankind of any kind are related to the earth and temporal. A faith in a member of the Godhead is faith in that which is eternal in nature, and therefore results in eternal life. So faith in the Son of God secures eternal life, for the object of that faith is eternal, and therefore can convey eternal life. Point two. Question. What is the place of Jesus Christ in respect to eternal life? What is the place of Jesus Christ in respect to eternal life? Here in John 17, 1 and 2, God the Father has given Jesus Christ the authority to give eternal life. Now, got some sub-points here. God the Father gave to the Son, point one, sub-point one, God the Father gave to the Son, Jesus Christ, His own life. John 5:26. Not the deity of Jesus Christ, but the humanity of Jesus Christ. Two, God the Father now has given Jesus Christ the authority to give this life to whom He chooses, to whom He, Jesus Christ, chooses. And Jesus Christ gives this life to everyone who believes in Him. Jesus Christ gives His own life, given to Him by God the Father. Now, just so we have a little comparison, let's look at John 17, verses 2 and 3. And we're going to compare this with John 20:31. But let's first read John 17:2. Even as Thou gavest Him authority over all mankind, that to all whom Thou hast given to Him, He may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Now look at chapter 20. Now look at chapter 20, verse 31. But these have been verse 30 begins the sentence, but other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So, we're looking at the relationship of Jesus Christ and eternal life. God the Father gave His own life to His Son. His Son then gives it to us. Sub-point three. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, is actually called, are given the title, eternal life. He is actually called, or given the title, eternal life. I'm going to give you the passage and then let's take a look at it. 1 John 1, 1 and 2. So let's turn to 1 John 1, 1 and 2. I tell you, the more I study this and study Corinthians and Romans, I'm just so aggravated that we don't have time to just study every book in this Bible, especially every book in the New Testament right now, so that we can just pull, because it just all just goes together so quickly in my mind and when I'm working. But let's look at 1 John 2, 1 and 2. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld, and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is eternal life, was with the Father, and was manifested to us. Gospel of John chapter 1. Now, look with me at 1 John 5, 20. 1 John 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given to us understanding. Oh, people, that's so powerful. Because what did we just read in John 17, eternal life is? Eternal life is to know the true God. How are we going to know? Does it mean just know God academically? No. But look what it says. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true. Now, who is that? That's God the Father. That's the true God of John 17, 2. This is eternal life. Third chapter, verse 3. This is eternal life, the true knowledge of the true God. We are in Him who is true, in His, God the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. And that's going to be very important coming up in a few minutes. And I hope we get to it tonight. So point three, we're in point two. What's the place of Jesus Christ in respect to eternal life? One, God the Father gave to His Son eternal life. Not the deity, but the humanity. Two, now God the Father gives to Jesus Christ the authority to give this life. Point three, Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Son of Man, is actually called or given the title of eternal life. 1 John 1, 1 and 2, 1 John 5, 20. Now, subpoint 4. Here's the point. Jesus Christ is eternal life. See, there's so many things that work together here. What did He tell Martha? I am the resurrection. See, remember she was talking about her brother Lazarus? Well, he's going to come back and all. I'm the resurrection. The resurrection's a person. Eternal life's a person. People, we just got to come so aware of all that Jesus Christ is. So under point four, Jesus Christ is eternal life and is therefore qualified by His own person, by authority given to Him by God the Father, to give eternal life to everyone who believes in Him. I don't know about you, I've just taken it for granted since I was 7 years old. I believe in Christ, I got eternal life. Whoopee! There's a whole lot involved in it. There's a whole lot involved in us getting eternal life. And this is a Bible church, and that's what we want to find out. So He is qualified by His own person, by the authority given Him by God the Father, to give life to whoever believes in Him. Now, point five, subpoint five. We are not given eternal life based on anything we do on earth. Religious people, legalists, try to take credit rather than being totally grateful. But eternal life is completely and only in Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. I've really fallen in love with 1 John in this study. 1 John 5, 11. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, we have a lot of fun on the 1 o'clock class on Sunday afternoon, and observation and interpretation, and we're going to see these kind of things. So, you see here in 1 John 5:12, and it says that God, or verse 11, that God has given us eternal life. Well, now we go to John chapter 17, and God the Father gives Jesus Christ the authority to give eternal life. Well, is it from the Father or is it from the Son? It's from both. Same thing with the giving of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ, who says, I send the Holy Spirit? Or is the Holy Spirit from the Father? Because Christ says, He will send the Holy Spirit. So, we got to understand the place of the Father, the Son, the Spirit in relationship to man, but we've got to understand the oneness of all of them. They're all involved in all aspects of our salvation, of our spirituality, of all blessings. So you got to be very careful as you try to, don't be so strict in relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They're all involved. It's a very important passage, 1 John 5:11, in relationship to John 17. See, some people would say, wait, and they see here you got a conflict. In John 17, Jesus Christ given the authority by God the Father. In John, in 1 John, it's the, no, there's no conflict. The Father gives this life through the Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, even though 1 John is about spiritual love, loving as Jesus Christ loved, eternal life, and I didn't see this before because I hadn't been thinking this way, is a driving issue. Now, just have fun with me. Let's take a look. Go to 1 John chapter 1. And if you want to take notes, I'll give you the references as we go through them. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, which we've already read, but let's just read it. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 25. Chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. It's a promise He's already made to us, eternal life. So if we keep in step with Jesus Christ, praying for what's already been given, we can pray, Father, I believe in Your Son. Give me eternal life. Give me the life of Your Son. It's a bona fide prayer because it's already promised. All right, let's take a look at chapter 3, verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, I want to just deal with the problem here so that you won't have a problem with this. What does this mean? Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life in him. Remember, there are two parts of us, the old man, the flesh nature, and the new man, the saved nature. When we die, we leave that flesh nature behind. That's the murderer. That's the sinner. That's the one who does all these things through the gospel, through the epistle of 1 John. A lot of people have trouble reading 1 John because you go through and you, well, wait a minute, it says this, then you don't have it. Well, boy, I know I've hated and my brother or something like that and some of the other things. Well, and remember, the old man does not have eternal life. The flesh nature doesn't have eternal life. And the new man, the new spiritual you, does not hate, cannot hate. But the flesh nature can and does. I just want to clarify that. All right, let's go to chapter 5. I was so disappointed there was nothing in chapter 4. All right, chapter 5, verse 11. Chapter 5, verse 11. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know you have eternal life. You have it. The moment you believed in Him, you have eternal life. Not future tense. You have it right now. And verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life, or even eternal life. And finally, point six. Why Jesus Christ? When I do funerals now, I have to do this. I have to end of it. Say, okay, why Jesus Christ? I go through how He gives peace, He gives rest, He gives life. Why Jesus Christ? When I was first in the ministry, Most everybody knew who Jesus Christ was. I don't assume anyone knows who Jesus Christ is anymore. So I have to explain who Jesus Christ is. So let's take a look. Point six. Why Jesus Christ? He is our Savior. No one else. No one. No prophet. No priest. No apostle. No one else was appointed by God to go to the cross, bear the judgment and the sins of the world. That's why Jesus Christ. Now, second question in this part, why Jesus Christ and eternal life? In other words, my question is this, so you'll understand. Let's go through it this way. Why not just, I believe in Jesus Christ and God the Father gives me eternal life? See? So, let's ask the question, why Jesus Christ and eternal life? Why does the Father give it through the Son? Okay? Jesus Christ is the only one appointed by God the Father, the sovereign God of the universe, throughout all eternity, to give eternal life. He is the only one appointed, given the authority to do it by God. There is eternal life in no one else, no other name. And of course, this means not in any individual. You can't create eternal life in yourself. Finite cannot produce eternity. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:9. Yes.
Having trouble with eternal life versus everlasting life in relationship to the existence of God being eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to deal with
it. Yeah.
And so we not have we have eternal life if we have no pre existence.
No. It's really everlasting. That's why I think I didn't bring that out last week. It should be everlasting life. Well, okay. I have to stay with the text. And the Greek word deals with that. So, what we're dealing with is eternity from this point. And that's why I call it everlasting. Ever from that point on. Everlasting on. But eternity from that point on. You have eternal life. And for an example, just to make the point of what we're doing, you have human life. Didn't have human life before you were born. The moment you were born, you have human life. So we have eternal life at the point that we have faith in Jesus Christ. From that point on through all eternity. Yes. That's a better way of understanding it in language. Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. When they said eternal, they were relating it to the life of God given to us forever. And God is eternal. I have His life now. I have eternal life. It's God's life. God equals eternal life. Eternal life is given to me. I have eternal life. The life of God. Doesn't mean I've pre-existed. Okay, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Timothy 1, 9. The sentence starts in verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the ungodly and profane, for those who are killed their... That isn't what I wanted. Let's see. Let me look at 2 Timothy 1:9. Yes, 2 Timothy 1:9. Just when you start reading that, I don't remember that being what I wanted. Okay, and I had to read it all to be sure. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:9, and 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us? Well, verse 8 begins the sentence. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, who God saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. So He has been, for all eternity, God has set aside Jesus Christ to give this eternal life to us. Okay, let's go back to John 17 now. Yes. I think they believed in Jesus Christ, and I studied that in the Angelic Conflict series. Yes, I do. I think that all the angels fail, and they were offered redemption, and the reason for that has to do with that if any had not fallen, they would be perfect, and they'd still be perfect. And there's a clear cut couple of scriptures that clearly point out that no one's perfect in like God any longer, and so all angels had to fall at that point. And I believe their redemption is in the same Savior. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it just deals with this whole sending of His Son all through history, pre-human history. Okay. Even as Thou hast given Him authority over all mankind, in order that to all whom Thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. Okay, summary so that you don't miss it. One. Glory of God the Father and the glory of Jesus Christ are for the purpose of eternal life to mankind. The glory of God the Father, the glory of Jesus Christ, are for the purpose of eternal life. Glorify Thy Son, that the Son may glorify You, and then comes down to that He may give life. Point two. The petition by Jesus Christ, glorify Thy Son, is so that the Son may glorify the Father and give eternal life to all who believe. Give God's life to all who believe. Just trying to show you how these verses are so interrelated. Three, the security of your salvation, the security of your eternal life, is in the glory of God the Father. The security of your eternal life is in the glory of God the Father. If one believes that you can lose your eternal life, God the Father loses His glory. He could snatch you out of Satan's kingdom of darkness, but He couldn't keep you. You could sin, something could happen, and you could lose it. He loses His glory. That's what this passage is showing us, people. Our eternal life is related to the glory of God. That's how important it is to God, giving us eternal life. And if we can lose eternal life, He loses glory. And that's blasphemous. Three. Or four now. Salvation of mankind is also dependent on the glorification of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ seeks no glory for Himself, but that He might give life to the believer. We're learning about Jesus Christ. He seeks no glory for Himself, but that He might give life to the believer. And finally, point five, all of world history, all the history of mankind is for the giving of eternal life to all who believe. From Adam and Eve to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to the cross of Christ, to the rapture, the tribulation, second advent, and the final glory at the end of the millennium, all designed for God to give eternal life to His creature. If you ever doubt the love of God, just look at all human history. Job asked a question of the Old Testament, I will do it, and I will do it alone. Then the Gospels, God doing it. And then the Acts and the Epistles to the Church, we declare that God has done it. And then, of course, the book of Revelation, the millennium, and the glory of Christ. People, this whole thing, this is how much God has to give us eternal life. Salvation is not free. It costs Christ. The cross. And this is how important us having this life is to God. Okay, now we come to verse 3, and I love verse 3. In His prayer, Jesus Christ defines eternal life for us in a most simple yet clear way. He does not deal with eternal life as living or breathing or existing, but He goes right to the composite of what makes this life eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. This is powerful. There's so much here. So much here. Now, what is Jesus Christ saying? This is very important. Jesus Christ is not just making a statement about eternal life since He mentioned it in verse 2. This is still part of the process of the glorifying of the Father. If I can make that clear to you. He's not just saying, well, I talked about eternal life. No, He's talking about part of the process of glorifying the Father. This is an intricate part of His giving eternal life, what that life is. So let's take three quick things. One, God the Father has given Jesus Christ a segment of the human race. Jesus Christ, in turn, gives eternal life to those whom the Father has given Him. Three, just who are those that the Father has given to the Son? Who are those that the Father has given to the Son? And with this, we're going to start seeing what we missed in the farewell addresses by Jesus Christ, starting in the Upper Room Discourse in chapter 13. This is eternal life, that you may know Thee, that they may know Thee. Okay, this is, I want you to observe something, not will be. Not will be. This is the present active indicative of I me, absolute status quo, this is. Not future. This is your possession. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Right then, it's yours. It's yours. John 5:24. Has eternal life. John 6:47. Has eternal life. But what is Jesus Christ saying here? This is eternal life, that you may know Thee. Now, I'm going to get back to eternal life. We'll talk about all that. There's proper place in this. But that you may know Thee. Present active subjunctive of the verb gnosko. Eternal life begins with knowing God the Father. Eternal life begins with knowing God the Father. This is why when we go back to our basic teaching, the first thing that happens is God consciousness. I don't care if you're a native in Africa, some remote person in India, somebody in Antarctica, which you're doing up there, I don't know. But wherever you are, You're coming to some point in your life, some age point, differs in every society, differs with every individual, when they become God conscious. And at that point, you make the first decision on your journey. I do not believe in that. I believe in that, yes. Wherever society you're in, whatever you are, you come to the point of God consciousness. Now, you may go to idolatry, idols, come up with false gods. This is why it says what? The true God. The only true God. The only true God. So you may say, yes, I do believe in higher power. And so you start worshiping idols. You start worshiping these things. But the point is, at some point, you come into the realization of the being of God. Eternal life begins with knowing the Father. Now, the word gnosko here, and I'm going to deal with it, it means to know something where it makes a difference in your life. It doesn't mean just to know. It means to know difference in your life. And that's going to be very important to some of our study now. The Gospel of John uses four words. Uses four words for conveying the idea of knowing, of leading to faith. And let's take a look. He uses hearing. He uses the verb seeing. He uses the verb knowing. And he uses the verb believing, to believe. He uses these four different words to convey what's going on in your mind. Now, they all kind of mean the same thing, but this is the point that he's doing. Let's take a look at hearing. Hearing, seeing, are involved in knowing and knowing and believing who and what he is. Hearing is not a passive activity. I think every parent knows this. Do you hear me? You don't hear me, do you? Look at me now! See? This means to hear so that it penetrates the mind. It's not a passive activity. This is where you hear something so as to believe in it. That's why the most frightening words in the Bible to me, the saddest words in the Bible is, they would not listen. They would not listen. Hear, not listen. Look at John chapter 5. Gospel of John chapter 5. People, I hope you don't get tired. Maybe you do. Maybe it just goes in one ear and out the other if I say it enough times. The importance of the Word of God. The importance of Bible doctrine. It's absolutely essential. And I'm just sorry we only do it three times a week. But it's just so essential that we know this book. So important. Chapter 5. And we're going to read 24 through 28. And just pay attention to what you're reading. 24 through 28. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute a judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice. So hear means to hear in such a way as to, it makes a realization, a cognizance in your mind. Look at verse 37, same chapter. And the Father who sent me, and we're going to come over this, come back to this, but I just want to point it out here. Do you remember what you just read in John 17:3? And the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's very important. To know that he is the one sent by God. And that's why I have to point it out in funerals. Jesus Christ is the only one sent by God. The only one. So verse 37, and the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. Now, the point is they're going to hear it from Jesus Christ. Therefore, look at verse 45. Verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you... Oh, wait a minute. That's not the verse I wanted. 41. 44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory from the one and only God? No, it has nothing to do with the hearing. Look at chapter 8, verse 43. Forget that my computer made a mistake. Let's go to 8:43. Why do you not understand what I am saying? I love this. Is it because you cannot hear my word? Why do you not understand what I'm telling you? It's because you don't hear the words? No, they hear the words. They don't hear them so as to believe. That's the problem. Look at verse 47, same chapter. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. See, if you come along, I believe in God, but I don't believe. See, we have idols, idolatry of the Gentiles who believed in many gods. The Jews believed in one God, but they rejected the way to the one God. They believed in one God, but they rejected the way to the one God. They rejected the Son that he sent. So we have hearing, we have seeing, light versus darkness. Seeing refers to seeing the truth, opening the eyes. Ah, now I see. Again, it's not just a passive seeing. Let me just give you some passages and you can look at them. Chapter 6, verse 36, chapter 9, 39, and chapter 12, verse 40. But I think you can understand the seeing, the hearing, the seeing is so clear. You can sit there and look, and then boom, you see it one day. I like stories where men and women are married, stayed married, happily married, and all that. And, you know, I knew her and I knew him, da, 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 da. And then one day, I just looked. I went, wow, now I see. See? My eyes, boom, I see. This is the woman I want to marry. This is the man I want to marry. But you saw him yesterday, and you saw him the day before, and you saw him the day before. What happened? Your eyes were open. This is the seeing so as to know what God is doing. Then we come to knowing. Oh, yes. 6:36. 9:39. 12:40. All in John, yes. So, knowing is part of our study here. Knowing that enhances faith. But it is faith that leads, it's sort of a circle. You know, and then you have faith, and that faith leads to knowing. Where this knowing enriches your life. Let's just look at chapter 6 a moment of John. Chapter 6, verse 69. Chapter 6, verse 69. Because I'm going to be dealing with knowing. Chapter 6, verse 69. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. See, people, when you walk by faith and you believe things in this book, You start seeing things. Yes, now I see that. Now I see that. It's like when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes that we're filled with the Spirit by faith, not by anything we do. We're saved by faith. We're filled with the Spirit by faith. We're saved by faith, spiritual by faith. It was like I just took a step, but I looked back. It was a whole Grand Canyon there. The whole seeing and the knowing of what just had happened. So the journey to eternal life begins with knowing God, the Father. And we just have to know these truths. Let's look at John chapter 7. John 7, verse 28. John 7, 28. Jesus therefore cried out in the temple, teaching and saying. I would love if we had time to go back over this. Look at all that he did. He cried out, teaching and saying. So we have what's going on with Jesus Christ in this time. Okay. You both know me and know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. They do not know God the Father. Look at verse 29. I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me. Look at chapter 8, verse 19. And so they were saying to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. You know. You do not know me. Now, bear in mind while I'm looking at these, what did John 17:3 say? Eternal life is knowing the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. We're looking at passages now that show what this relationship is. So, here at our passage, verse 19, you know neither me. So what do we know? They do not have what? Eternal life. They don't have eternal life. Eternal life being the knowing the Father, the only true God. You do not know me, nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Look at chapter 15. Chapter we just completed. Oh, certainly. Absolutely. He's the one that opened our eyes. Oh, but all the way through history, he's the one that opens the eyes. Even in the Old Testament. Yeah. And I think I got that in here. I know I do when I go through the study of knowing. All right. Chapter 16. And let's look at, or chapter 15, verse 21. Chapter 15, 21. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. So what do we know about the world who hates Jesus Christ? They do not have. And from our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, they are perishing. They are perishing. They do not have life. So all of these things, you begin to look at the whole world in a different aspect. Yeah, that's why they are the way they are. Now, what throws me off is when believers start acting that way. But when we see it in the world, yeah, they do not have eternal life. They're perishing. So, let's take a look. Chapter 16, verse 3. And these things they will do, because they have not known the Father. Now, what I'm showing you is, as I said, we're going to look at some things we missed when we were going through these chapters, 13, 14, 15, and 16, and the farewell addresses of Christ. I kind of missed this momentum, this flow of knowing the Father, knowing the Father, knowing that the Father sent me. That's what we're looking at in this study. So 16:3, and these things they will do because, why? They do not know the Father or me. So we know they do not have eternal life. Chapter 17, verse 25. Chapter 17, our chapter, the prayer. Chapter 25. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, And these have known that thou didst send me. So we know what? They have eternal life. So this is the kind of the flow of these things. Eternal life starts with the knowledge of God the Father. This is eternal life, that they may know thee. To know God the Father is to believe God the Father and believe the one that he sent. Now, I'm going to give a whole procedure here, but just to kind of get you going. Salvation is not just in knowing God the Father. Salvation is in knowing the Father, trusting the Father, believing what the Father says, and the Father says, I've sent my Son. Okay, I believe God the Father sent his Son. You're still not saved. The Father said, and you believe in my Son. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. So now, I believe the Father, that if I believe in the Son, I have eternal life. I believe in his Son. See, this is how we're going to work through all these things. Well, I'm just geared up, and now it's already past time, so we'll begin here next Wednesday evening and continue the study. And Kit, we'll think about you while you're in Greece, and I'm sure you'll think of us next Wednesday night. Yeah, there you go. Are you going to make it over to Corinth? All right, that'd be good. Very good. All right, take some pictures. Bring them back, yeah. Show them to our 9:15 class on Sunday morning. That'd be fun. All right. That is so cool. Okay. Any questions about tonight? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. I'm so sorry. I had things I wanted to get to. Let me just share with you one that I'm working with right now that you'll appreciate coming to the 1 o'clock study on Sunday. That you know the only true God and Jesus Christ. Do you know, people, that there are people who use that to prove Jesus Christ is not deity? Only true God and Jesus Christ. So we're going to have to look at these things. And I just feel like we've got to at least got to give you that kind of information so that if you run into it, you know at least what to say. And so we're going to look at all of this. But I'm just thoroughly enjoying the Lord's Prayer. Okay. And if next time somebody says, would you do the Lord's Prayer at our wedding or our funeral? I'll say, all right, if you'll open to John 17, we'll just go at it. That's not what I meant. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for all the prayers of Jesus Christ that are recorded. All of them. Simple ones, small ones. John 17. We thank you, Father, for the journey we've been on tonight. Just pray you'll take these things, Father, and let them settle in our souls. We put all this together. It's just so intermingled. It's so difficult to separate these things, Father. Study this and then study that. They're all interrelated, interdependent. So I just pray your Spirit will help us pull all these things together each time we come. And just gets stronger and stronger and clearer in our sight. That we see it more and more and see it clearer, Father. Understand it. Father, we can just appreciate the prayer of Jesus Christ and pray like he prayed. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. And Father, pray that you'll give Olivia a safe trip to Ireland tomorrow. That you'll give Kit a safe trip. That you'll give Jim and Mindy a safe trip to Italy and bring them back, Father, safely. Well, leave Olivia and Dylan for a while. Father, we pray all of these things now in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.